Hey, there we are, live. I think I successfully got it up and running on all channels today. There you go. Progress, if there ever was progress. Welcome to It's Your Call. I am your host, John Milkey. This is the show that is, on a quest to find that middle ground. We don't have to agree, but we also don't have to, yell and scream at each other either. I respect your point of view always. I hope you respect my point of view always as well. No yelling, no screaming. It's okay to disagree, but let's find that middle ground. So let's begin. I do have something not terribly hard-hitting that I want to get into, but it's something that's been on the back of my mind and building over the past week or so, to the point where it's now just really pissing me off, and I want to get your opinion on it. There's certainly some bigger stories in the political realm. Masking, which you talked about last week, the pandemic isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. Anyway, we'll get into that later on in the week. Let's begin with the mailbag. This person says, I don't have to read their message on the show, so I'm going to keep your name off just in case I don't want to betray your confidence. They start out by saying, hi, Milkman. Do you mind me calling you that, or do you prefer Milky or John? Listen, whatever you are comfortable with is fine with me. I go by all of those. So there you go. This person says, I don't know if I was mistaken, but why was God Save the King sung in French or sung in French first? This bothers the hell out of me, and I'll tell you why. Years ago, the indigenous children in residential schools were not allowed to speak their own language and abused. And now we have this reconciliation thing. The hypocrisy is the Quebec premier not allowing English language spoken in his province. Have we not learned anything with reconciliation? Here he is turning around and doing the same thing years later, and I find that cruel. This person goes on to say, why do we put up with it? Why are we putting French on our labels? Why do we have bilingual signs and they don't? Why do we spend mega dollars on French language training in our province when he won't even allow English in his? The ceremony was in Ottawa, so we should be free to speak our mother tongue English, in my opinion. I've always been open to adding a little French into the mix out of respect, but not start an anthem with French first when we are in our own province, and certainly not singing the whole song in French. To me, it gives a false representation of our country's language. English is Canada's official language, is it not? Okay, so let me begin with that. No, it's not. It's one of. English and French are our two official languages, coast to coast. We are English and we are French. English is the official language, this person goes on to say, internationally, is it not? No. English is the default language. Certainly every airline pilot communicates in English. But no, listen, there are francophones that exist beyond the borders of Quebec. Go to New Brunswick, which, by the way, is our only officially bilingual province. There's a lot of French in New Brunswick. The Acadians are very, very proud of their francophone lineage. And by the way, the whole bilingual thing works very well in New Brunswick. There are a lot of pockets in Ontario, with Franco-Ontarians. Vanier is very French. Orleans is very French. There are pockets of French in Manitoba and points beyond. So no, Canada is very much a bilingual country. As for your comment that, we are in our own province. Well, yes, I don't know where it was that you heard the God Save the King. I'm assuming it was at the Cenotaph. Well, that would be a federal thing. That has nothing to do with the province of Ontario whatsoever. But there you go. You asked me a question, gave you my opinion. That's what it's all about. English is a language of commerce, says Franciscus von Buxel on YouTube. Thank you. So hi, Mahadi. Hi, Chrissy. Thanks, everybody, for sharing this. It's your call. I want to get your thoughts on something that's been driving me crazy for a little while. 613-604-6464 is the number, 613-604-6464. You can text as well. And if you'd like to do this via video, or just be heard via video stream, just click the little video camera icon at itsyourcall.ca. Again, you can't have apostrophes in a domain name, so it's your call, itsyourcall.ca. We got a new council being sworn in tomorrow. And in the whole election campaign here in Ottawa, and listen, there are elections beyond Ottawa as well, but I'm sure the same thing is happening in your neck of the woods. Okay, so new council being sworn in. Bike lanes is a big topic here in the nation's capital. It conjured up all kinds of frustrations with me because our roads are becoming more and more not just busy, but different types of vehicles are on the road now. And it is becoming very difficult to pay attention and make sense of it all. So my question to you is this. Do we unfairly make drivers of motorized vehicles, traditional vehicles, cars, trucks, do we unfairly make drivers of those vehicles the quote-unquote bad guy or bad person when it comes to these safe driving campaigns? You know, it's like, watch out for motorcycles. Beware, school buses are back on the road. Every single one of these campaigns is targeted to those of us who drive cars and trucks. And I ask this on a day where, look, the only real driving I do these days, my wife works about 6 minutes down the road. And in the 6 minutes it took me to drive her to work this morning, I was nearly hit by two different drivers taking chances and not paying attention. So I agree. We have some really bad drivers who need to be reminded of the rules of the road. But I have also kept count over the last week or so of the number of pedestrians who have done incredibly stupid things. Since last Monday, I have actually kept a note on my cell phone. I just yell at Siri every single time I see it happen and have her chalk up another one. And I want you to keep in mind, I've been keeping track since last Monday. I was out of town Thursday and most of Friday. So we're discounting 2 days out of that week. But in that time, I counted 8 different pedestrians walking right in front of my, well, I was about to say car. I drive a Ram. A 1500, like a Dodge 1500. It's a sizable vehicle is what I'm saying. I'm hard to miss. But on 8 different occasions, pedestrians waltzed right in front of my truck with their nose buried in their phone, texting. Walking right through a sidewalk, right through a crosswalk, hopping off the curb, walking through a parking lot. At no point did they even like raise their head up. Not once. One person, by the way, even pushed a grocery cart into the crosswalk with the do not cross hand up, their nose again buried in the phone. Also, by the way, side note, those grocery carts are not free with purchase. That's a whole other conversation, but that's actually theft. You could be charged for that. Those are not free. Buy a bag of milk, get a free grocery cart. Yeah, no, that doesn't happen. So add this to the number of cyclists that we're seeing texting on their phones, driving the wrong way on the road, driving on the sidewalk. I'm sure you see this. And now we have this onslaught of scooters or e-bikes or whatever you call these things. I know I'm getting them mixed up, but you know what I'm talking about, right? They look like motorcycles, but they don't make a sound. And they're going like blazes. And I've told this story before, recently, as a matter of fact. A friend of mine who runs an auto shop and in the course of his day backs a lot of cars in and out of his shop. He was backing one out the other day, you know, looks both ways, and this e-bike comes whizzing up Heron Road. And my friend claims like he thought it was a ninja motorcycle. Says this thing had to easily be doing 100 kilometers an hour. Speed limit there, by the way, is 60. So this weekend, I find myself in a conversation with someone who knows a lot about these e-bikes and promised me that when you buy one, the speed is capped on them. I think he said 34 kilometers an hour. Don't hold me to that. But the speed is capped on them. Except if you buy an e-bike, the person who sells it to you, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, will show you where the switch is so that you can override that speed restriction. Every single one of these bikes apparently has a little switch. It's like a little light switch. And it's just, it's flicked to one position to cap the speed. Opening her up is as easy as flick the switch. And then they can top out like over 100K. That's Queensway speed. That's Highway 401 speed. And these people don't need licenses for them. here's the other thing that he brought my attention to. Yes, environmentalists are riding them. Yes, people who just think they're kind of fun. Yes, people who think that they're a neat little way to get around. But you know who else is riding them? People who, for whatever reason, have lost their licenses. Think about that. You have a DUI. You don't have a license. You can't drive a car. You can't get insurance. Well, now you got an e-bike. He says the number of people he knows who will, you know, smoke, drink, and hop on an e-bike and, you know, go do their, you know, about their day, whatever else, go places. He says it would blow your mind. I never even considered that. You don't need a driver's license to be on one of these things, zipping up Heron Road at 100 kilometers an hour. You don't need insurance. So, are you tired of people who drive traditional cars and trucks being targeted with these campaigns to watch out for motorcycles, share the road, watch out for school buses? They're back now. Don't run the red lights on the school buses. Are you tired of the police blitzes to cut down on speeding for cars and trucks? And by the way, I'm glad they do that. I have no problem with that. But why are we only targeting car and truck drivers? Car and truck drivers, myself included, look, I've had speeding tickets. Absolutely. But there are other vehicles that we have permitted onto the roads now that don't seem to be getting any attention whatsoever. Where are the campaigns to remind motorcycle drivers that they share the responsibility to be seen on the road? I had a guy in the Queensway the other day easily doing 230, 240 kilometers an hour zigzagging through traffic. And yes, there are some campaigns every now and then just a reminder to motorcycle drivers. I can't react to you when you're driving like that. If I have to hit the brakes, I can't react fast. I know we all know this, but we don't hear the same kind of campaigns. Where are the campaigns to remind cyclists that they need to obey the same rules as motorists do? I grew up knowing that if I'm on a bicycle, I have to stop at a stop sign. I have to yield to a pedestrian. I have to drive the same direction as traffic. I have to have a light on my bicycle. I have to have a flashing white light and a flashing red light on my bicycle. The white at the front, the red. Drive around at nighttime. How many pedestrians were involved in accidents last week or the week before? I think it was 5 or 6. Are we blaming the drivers of cars and trucks exclusively for this? What were they wearing? Were they wearing anything reflective? Are they walking around in the dark? Are they carrying a flashlight? This afternoon, by the way, I'm going to be at Princess Auto. Princess Auto has a whole section of surplus. They sell these amazing little bike lights. They're awesome. And they're like the same kind of rubber that your Swatch watch in the 80s was. I think they're $1.99 a piece. I've often thought I should just buy a bunch of these and in like my logoed vehicle for the radio station, just hand them out. Like some of these people are on like $400, $500 bikes. Some of them more expensive than that. They can't afford $1.99 for a simple little light. Where are the campaigns reminding pedestrians that walking and texting can get you killed? And I guess the bigger question is, where's the enforcement? I have never in my life seen a cyclist pulled over and getting ticketed. Have you? Love to hear from you. 613-604-6464. Have you ever seen a pedestrian stop for jaywalking or texting while walking across Hazeldine Road or 10th Line Road or Bank Street? I never have. And finally, should we be requiring those who use these e-bikes and these scooters, and for those who use bicycles, especially if we're going to keep adding bike lanes so that they can use our downtown streets, etc., should they be required to have some form of license? By the way, growing up in Nepean, if you grew up in Nepean, you had to have a bike license. You had a little sticker on your bike. That was your bicycle license. You went through an obstacle course and learned with a police officer teaching you how to handle your bike. Tell me your horror stories and tell me what you'd like to see happen. So that's my question for you today on It's Your Call. 613-604-6464. Let me scroll to the top of the comments, which, by the way, are coming in on Facebook, twitch.tv/BTR radio, on YouTube as well. Tara says, you can still be charged under the Highway Traffic Act if caught by police. However, I totally agree that who could be driving these and unlimited is a huge issue. Yeah. I never even considered it, Tara, never considered that someone who's lost their license would look at an e-bike and go, all right, let's have at it. Smoke them if you got them. Have a couple of drinks. Now, I'm sure by law that's illegal. Is it being enforced? You know it's out there. And you're gonna see these people differently now that you know this, right? Because I'd never even considered it. Liz, thank you for chiming in. Facebook. It is annoying, and most cyclists do not follow rules. They are the first ones to complain. Well, follow the damn rules. Yeah. The chances I see cyclists taking, not even slowing down for a red light, just cruising through there. And then the anger when they get honked at or a car creeps into a car that has the right of way, you know, moving into the intersection, for example. You see it all the time. It's not just me. I know it. Terry says we need to bring back Elmer the safety elephant. Yes, we do. And the grown-up version. If you drive a vehicle, says Renee, you must have a license or have ID with them. Any other method of transportation, you are not required to have ID. Yep. I don't get it. I don't get it. If they're allowed to use the same roads as us, why do they not have to have the same... I mean, if I get drunk and get on an e-bike and I cause an accident, yeah, I know the no-fault insurance, but if you've caused an accident and I'm injured and my family's injured and my car is written off, if you don't have insurance, how does my insurance company go after you? And I obviously can't sue you. Unless I know you've got a pile of money hidden somewhere, I have no hope of recovering any money from you. It's grossly unfair, in my opinion, but I want your opinion. 613-604-6464. You can also click the video link at itsyourcall.ca and join us that way. Or keep the comments coming on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Let's go to YouTube. The city does not have capacity or manpower to enforce bike laws. I see stupidity on the daily. And you're a truck driver. I can just imagine. You know what? Everybody should have to drive a truck once in their life just to understand how the truck works, even from just a sheer physics point of view. You would never cut in front of a truck the way you do on the Queensway, etc. If you knew just how slow it was to react. And think of the weight that is coming at you. If anything possibly goes wrong, people know this. They don't care. They obviously don't care because they take the risks. Back in the day, says Fran, when I was a kid, we had to get licenses for our bicycles. Yeah, in Nepean, you had to. Did you grow up in Nepean, Fran? I bet you did. The kids also need to be taught how to cross a road. Bring back Elmer the safety elephant. I know. We have crossing guards now. We don't need to teach our kids how to cross the road. Now, look, I live near Bank Street, so I refer to that a lot. Right? So, you know, crossing Bank Street is one thing. Or like I said, 10th Line or Hazeldine Road or busy, busy place like that. Sure. But on a residential street, like down, you know, like the crosswalks right outside the schools, are kids being taught stop, look both ways? No, they're being escorted across the street with, you know, somebody who's like a paid crossing guard with a stop sign. And that's great. But is that teaching kids how to do this? No. No. Somebody's crossing, you know, holding up traffic for me to cross the road. I could just stare at my phone. Doopy 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 doop. Bike safety, says Tara, used to be a part of school. It's long gone. And now we see what happens when they don't learn these things. And she also adds she has seen an e-bike fine. Oh, my God. Is it Monday, you think? Tara, what's that like to see an e-bike being fined? And how do they even go about that? I mean, obviously, if an officer asks you to present ID, you legally must show ID. But how do they enforce that? They can't suspend your license. Like in boating, for example, if I get a DUI on the water, I don't know if you're a boater, I don't even know if you know this. If I am in a boat and I am behind the wheel and I am consuming alcohol, I get a DUI. They don't suspend my boat license. Well, they probably do. But that actually, that DUI goes on your driver's license. That affects your car insurance. I don't know if people know that. But it's true. Over to Twitch and Satan's Playmate. I'm not allowed to drive and have been offered different e-bikes and shown how to make them faster. Not interested. Would love to be able to drive a golf cart around the neighborhood. You see that a lot. Myrtle Beach, Florida. Absolutely. See it all the time. I know at least three people who've permanently lost their licenses for DUI that now have e-bikes, says Jace. Yeah. So what's the point in suspending anybody's license if we're just going to turn around and say, you know what? Head on down to your local whatever store sells these. I think Canadian Tire, Walmart, Costco, I mean, they're readily available. Certainly there are specialty stores that sell them. Oh no, you suspended my license. Whatever will I do? Oh, well, I'll go spend $300 and hop on this thing. No license required. Bye-bye. And they're on the same damn road, doing the same speeds, taking the same chances, and drinking the same amount of drink. I always thought I would drive one of those bumper cars from the X if I lost my license, says Terry. Mm-hmm. Terry likes to spend his day just cracking himself up, by the way. Linda says, I guess I am too. I don't know what that refers to. Linda, because we're sort of deep in a conversation. Constable Taylor did a great job at bicycle safety in Nepean. Oh my God, I remember Constable Taylor. Yes, it was a yes. Constable Taylor was a community constable in Nepean, and that is probably the primary function that he had. Licensing, giving kids their bike license. And you know what? When you're a little kid, I was joking about this on the show that I do in Sarasota today. You know, when you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to be of drinking age, right? You hope, and if you're not of drinking age, you're trying to find someone who can create a fake ID for you because you want to be that, right? Well, here I am now at 53 years of age. I've got this RV that I'm going to be putting on the road for a mental health campaign, but I'm also going to be using it for some getaways now and then. I am too young to get into some of the RV parks in Sarasota, Florida. You gotta be 55. So here I am now, like, just, you know, sort of joking about the fact that, you know, I'd like a fake ID to be able to get into the park. But the thrill when you are a kid of passing that and getting your bicycle license, that meant something. Just to have that responsibility. Nobody's going to pull you over if you didn't have a bike license. You know that, and I know that. But there was just the psychology behind that. You know, that you learned a little something. Like, look, you hire babysitters. Not every one of them has taken a babysitting course. I took the babysitting course. I felt, you know, that just better prepared me. There wasn't a pass-fail in that. There was just an overall awareness. So, yeah, license. I mean, we're at a point now. Look, if you're going to drive your bike around, you know, a 40 kilometer an hour, 50 kilometer, a residential zone, school zone, I don't have a problem. Don't wear the helmet if you don't want to wear the helmet. It's a nice leisurely bike ride. Great. But once you're onto roads that have, you know, 60 kilometers an hour and up, we need to be licensing these folks. Your insurance would cover your claim as per your policy coverage with your deductible, says Liz. As for the other party, insurance would presume the background and you can pursue them legally. Yeah, exactly. But if they have nothing, Liz, if they don't have any money, then I can launch as many lawsuits against them as I want. I ain't getting a dime from them if they don't have it. They got to be carrying insurance. It needs to be the law. In my opinion, common sense, says Mary, has been taken over by mollycoddling of cyclists and joggers and walkers. We are all accountable for the rules of the road. Fran learned, got her bike license. Oh, in Etobicoke and Oakville. Cool. See, I hereby declare Etobicoke and Oakville to be honorary extensions of the old city of Nepean. All the cool kids had to do that. Let's go to YouTube and Mims. Bicycles sharing streets, roads with cars should have insurance. Okay, so I'm not getting any pushback on that. So far, everybody is in agreement. Linda says, my kids live in the country, and when we went for walks, I taught them safety, and when they brought their bikes in, I taught them the same rules. Yep. Drunken country star George Jones would drive his golf cart to the liquor store when he lost his license. Here you go. And you know what? And a lot of these resorts areas that you see, especially in the southern states, they've got designated cart paths. And you know what? I don't really have an issue with that. They're off the main road. It doesn't mean that they are not going to have an accident or not injure somebody, but the severity of a fatal accident is greater, or the idea of a fatal accident or the risk of a fatal accident greatly, greatly reduced. Another piss off, says Glenn, is that EVs pay no road taxes because they use no gas. Yeah, Lowell used to rail about that. He was very upset about that. And he's right. Who the hell should pay for the roads, which include bike lanes? You and I who drive vehicles, apparently. All right, back to Satan's Playmate. We didn't have school bus and was not city bus. We either walked or rode bikes to school, and they had bike safety classes at the start of the school year. Why are we not teaching that in schools? Seems like a great opportunity. Make that part of phys ed. Riding a bike is physical, is it not? Let's educate them about the physical aspect of cycling and the safety aspect while we're at it. No different than your gym teacher teaching you health. Let's teach you the physical aspect and all that can go, I don't want to say wrong, but all that can turn your life upside down if you choose to do that. But they also teach you a thing or two about safety, don't they? Uh-huh. After having a DUI last year, huge wake-up call, says Chrissy. Not interested in an e-bike. The cost of having a DUI is something that lingers. Expensive lesson to learn. Plus, winter, you can't ride the bike lane, so find other ways to get around. Chrissy, I'm sorry that that happened to you. I'm sure it's an expensive lesson to learn. I know other people who've gone through it as well. It is very... And here's the other thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chrissy. You brought it up, so I'm just going to ask you this question. We all know that if you've had a DUI, when you get back into a vehicle, there's a certain period of time, or maybe that's in the sentencing process, I don't know, but in order to drive a car, you have to be able to blow into a tube and pass the breathalyzer test before your car will start. I think we all know that, but I think the part that people are not aware of is that that machine that is in your car to do that breathalyzer, that's not provided. You have to pay for that. So on top of everything else that goes along with the DUI, you have to pay for that machine that goes in your car for a year, she says. There you go. No bicycle should be on a roadway with a posted speed limit greater than 60 kilometers an hour, in my opinion. I agree. Unless, you know what, I have no problem if there is a separate bike lane. Great. And especially if it's a protected bike lane. But a license and some sort of fee system that is either a pooled insurance or something, I think we're at the point now, which is why I'm bringing this conversation up. I think we're at a point now where we need to start looking at things like that. And maybe that's something we want to start putting into the ears of the new council in Ottawa or Etobicoke or Oakville or wherever it is you're living. In the country, I've seen people driving the ride-on tractor to the liquor store. Uh-huh. I know. David Samson's on Facebook. David, thank you for chiming in. It's your call. The name of the show, 613-604-6464. If you ever miss an episode, head to twitch.tv/BTR Radio. Past episodes are there. Also on the Blast the Radio YouTube page. And, of course, available on the Lowell Green Podcast. Yes, it's still named the Lowell Green Podcast. I'm working on changing that, and we will. But for now, that's what it is. David says, they used to take us to the safety village. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, down at Britannia Village. Yeah. It has a play roadway with all sorts of stoplights and street signs. It had a little choo-choo train, too, right? So you had like a little rail stop. You had to learn what to do. Does that even still exist down at Britannia Park? Oh, it has to. Thank you for that memory, David. Wow. Marie says, when I was young and rode my bike, I faced the traffic so we could get out of the way of the car. We had no bike lanes then. Yeah, and you know what? I get a lot of people want to face oncoming traffic. They want to be able to see it and navigate. Here's the problem. When you're trained as a driver, you're looking for vehicles to be coming a certain way. Right? Any vehicle, and a bicycle is considered a vehicle, must be traveling in the same direction as traffic. And I know when you're a kid, you don't realize that. Your logic is, I want to face, and even adults, I want to face the oncoming traffic and be able to see it. Drivers aren't looking for you coming from that direction, and that's what makes it scary. But yeah, by law, bicycles are supposed to be, whether there's a bike lane or not, are supposed to be traveling the same direction as motorized vehicles. Safety went out the window with closing the Safety Village in Britannia. Okay, so that is closed. Aw, that was such a cool little spot. Why are we closing things like this? It makes no sense. Back to YouTube. If the city would issue licenses for bikes with a small annual fee to cover liability insurance, I would be all for that. Seems like a reasonable place to start anyway, doesn't it? Something. So that there's a pool of money that is at least offsetting some of the cost of these things. We're going crazy building these things for, you know, listen, the green aspect of it, okay, fine. I'll accept that argument. But who's paying for that? Why am I? I'm not using it. I should be. Look at me. I should be, but I'm not. Linda says, in the 60s, my brother got a new bike. Glasses were expensive. My mom thought, don't wear your glasses when you ride your bike. The first day he ran into a light standard. He was okay, but his new bike always steered to the left after that. I'm laughing, but I shouldn't be. He got to wear his glasses after that collision. I guess so. Safety Village was demolished in 2010 after years of neglect, says David. Sad. Let's bring back Safety Village. Good conversation. So I'm not the only one who's seen the wackiness and the weirdness that is out there and questioning why we're allowing these e-bikes to travel at the speeds they travel at. And where's the enforcement? I guess all we're asking for, can we just even the playing field, stop with the campaigns against car and truck drivers? Yeah. There's a lot of car and truck drivers who are behaving like idiots, but we aren't the only ones, and there are a lot of people out there who deserve a good talking to and occasionally a PR campaign. There you go. Thanks for your input today. It's called It's Your Call, heard every single day from 2 until 2:30. I might go a little longer if it warrants, if the participation is there. On btrradio.com, itsyourcall.ca is the website, and as has been said before, and we will continue saying it here. We'll be back tomorrow.